All right. How many of you guys? Here we go. How many of you guys
know the story about that?
No, that's not the question. Good try, though. How many of you guys had cereal for breakfast this morning?
Me.
No, you didn't, because.
Anybody? Wow. How many of you guys had breakfast this morning? Okay. At least some people are awake. And Logan, you had breakfast too. I saw you.
Everyone had breakfast.
How many of you guys had eggs for breakfast this morning? That's exactly what I had for breakfast. People online said they wanted some entertainment this morning, so I had to think of something. Speaking of breakfast, did you know that through its laws that our country declares that it is a crime to lie about what is inside a box of cereal? Did you know that? Now, a lot of the companies that make cereal do like to try to trick people on what's inside a box of cereal, but the laws demand that outside of the package of cereal tells the truth about what is on the inside. And deceptive packaging is supposed to be illegal. There are regulations around truth in advertising, not just for cereal, but for other things too, are supposed to be to help protect the public. On a package of cigarettes, which hopefully none of us have ever had, but if you have ever seen, it says things like smoking causes lung cancer, heart disease, and may complicate pregnancy, and emphysema, and probably many other warnings. Unfortunately, there are no such laws about deceptive packaging when it comes to people. We require that no one tell us what they're really like on the inside. And many people like to trick other people by wearing certain clothes and putting on a face, figuratively or literally. Facial expressions, mannerisms, speech patterns, or how people behave. No one is forced to tell you what he or she is really thinking, feeling, or planning to do. But we know from the Old Testament that God says, man looks at the outward appearance, who can tell me the rest? Anybody else? Who can tell me the question I just asked? Perry? Very good. At least someone's listening. How about you, boys? Are you listening? Kind of hard for boys to listen, isn't it? Ray's listening. I can tell he's got his Bible opened to multiple pages. All right. So, who can tell me the rest of the verse? Perry, do you know it?
But God looks at the heart.
You are right. Very good. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Well, today's story, we're going to read about how God overheard what people were thinking. How many of you can overhear what people are thinking? Yep, he knew what people were thinking, even though they didn't say it. That's part of the story today. So there's a big word on the screen, and denim, I think he knows what it means. Do you know what it means, denim? You know what that word paralytic means? There's a big hint in the story, or in the picture there.
Healing?
Oh, you're close. You're on the right track. Erica, do you know what it means? Are you set to go away? I don't think so. Ray, do you have an answer?
Paralyzed?
Okay, what does paralyzed mean? Good answer, that's true. What does paralyzed mean? Abby? Okay, yep, that's one kind of way to be paralyzed. Sometimes people are paralyzed in other ways too, right? Something that maybe just something's not working as it's supposed to. You're paralyzed by fear, and so you can't do anything. Or something that normally works really well is not working. And so today, the story from Mark chapter 2 is about a paralytic, and it's talking about exactly what you said. Someone who can't, in this case, he couldn't walk. He was in a bed, unable to get up. So, if you guys have your Bibles, please turn to Mark chapter 2. Who can remember what we looked at last time? I think it was a couple months ago now. Who remembers what we looked at? What story did we look at? Did I tell you guys last time on Kids Sunday? You have to remember which one I shared. Anybody remember? I know that was like quite a few days ago, quite a few weeks ago. Do you remember? What? That he said he would die? I very well might have said that. I don't remember saying that. Does anybody else remember me saying that? I probably did say that. Anybody else remember more details? What the story was called? Soraya? No, that's today. That's what we're going to talk about today. What did we talk about last time? Did any of the grown-ups remember? It can be a very difficult thing sometimes. I'll give you a hint. He took him up on a high mountain. Ooh, there's some hands. Ellie.
When Satan tempted Jesus.
Yeah, the temptation of Jesus. And that was read from, I believe we read from the Gospel of Matthew. And so we're going through some more things in the life of Jesus. Early in his ministry, we talked to do you have something to add, Denim? What else did we talk about?
The other day we watched a Bible story, and it was about when Jesus got tempted by Jesus, but he didn't get tempted.
Did you watch a movie about
Satan said, turn the stones into bread, he brought up our mountain and said, throw them down on it was on the palace.
That's right. Yeah, that's part of the stuff we talked about. So in Mark chapter 2, it's not too long after that, that Jesus, actually we can read about them starting in Mark chapter 1, where Jesus started doing something that starts with an M. Who can tell me what it is? First of all, Jesus was born, and then he grew up, and we talked about him in the temple. And he was 12 years old, and we talked about how John the Baptist shared about him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And then we read about his baptism, how John baptized him. And we read about his temptation. And what did Jesus start doing when he was a grown-up? He went to a wedding and he turned water into... Everybody say it out loud.
Blood.
What? Wine. Turned water into wine. Very good. Okay, and then he went to a religious leader by night named... Go ahead and say it if you know.
Nicodemus.
And he said, for God so
loved...
Let's say the whole thing. Loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And the chapter after that, he went to a woman who was by a... Nolan? Well, very good. And what did she say? Or what did he say to her? What did he offer to give her that would make her never thirst again? Nolan?
The holy water.
Not the holy water. You're close. You're close. Erica? Something about water. I like how you're giving an attempt at all these questions. Good listening. Jocelyn?
Living water.
Living water. Very good. Yeah. And so he told her about the things that nobody else knew. Remember that part of the story? We didn't talk about those stories, but those are all stories that were leading up to Jesus starting to tell people who he was and why he came. So sometimes Jesus would say things that were very amazing. He would say things, and people said, no one ever spoke like him. And other times, Jesus would do things that were very amazing. And they were things that no one else could do. What were those things called? What do we usually call those things? That only God can do, but no one else can do. Barry?
Miracles.
Miracles, yep. So today we're going to talk about a miracle from Mark chapter 2. And it's actually what you might call a double miracle. So at the end, I'll ask you guys what you think the two miracles were and see if you can tell me. If you listen really well, I think you'll be able to tell me. Okay? So I'm going to ask you to see who can put their hand up first to tell me. So Mark chapter 2, I want you guys to help me read. And I've got, if you can't find it or if you don't have, it's good to find it in your Bible. And make sure that I get the words right up here, okay? All right, so verses 1 and 2. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. We read about Jesus in Capernaum this morning, actually. Mr. Egypt was reading that. So, verse 1. And again, he entered... If I stop and you guys can say the word without raising your hand. Capernaum. After some days, and it was heard that he was in the...
House.
Immediately, many
gathered
together so that there was no longer room to
receive
them, not even near the door. And he preached the
word
to them. Very good. So we've got the book of Mark, which I don't think we've talked about that one for several months. In the book of Mark, if you read through chapter 1 and chapter 2, the Lord Jesus, so how many Gospels are there, kids? Can you tell me how many Gospels there are in the Bible? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. How many Gospels are there, Lucas? You know how many?
Four.
Very good. How did you know? Very good. Okay.
So
Mark.
Showed up the fingers.
Yeah, I gave you a hint, didn't I? So, but you were looking and you were listening. If you weren't looking and listening, you wouldn't have known, right? So it's good to look and listen, especially when we're preaching God's word. So when we look at the four Gospels, Matthew says a lot of things about the Lord Jesus, and Mark says a lot of things about the Lord Jesus. And Luke says a lot of things about the Lord Jesus, and John says a lot of things about the Lord Jesus. Some of the things they say are the same, but some of the things they say are different, because they saw and wrote down different things. Because sometimes John was with the Lord Jesus, and maybe Luke wasn't there, or he didn't hear about all the things that John saw. And Mark really liked to write about all the things that Jesus did, especially things that he did for others. And so when you read through the book of Mark, especially in the first several chapters here, many would say that Mark presents Jesus as the servant. The servant, the one who did things for others. And if you read through, it seems as though almost every sentence begins with "and." If you look through the first few chapters, you'll see that word over and over again. And the idea behind that is that when Jesus did something and he finished doing something, he wasn't done. He didn't stop. He moved on to the next person who had a need and he helped them. And so when we read in Mark chapter 2, and it starts out with, and again, he entered Capernaum. That's another word that we see a lot. Again. And it was heard that he was in the house. Some versions would say, and immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. So there were many people that had heard that Jesus was doing
miracles.
Very good, then. I like how you're listening. Miracles. And they were pretty excited to see and hear from this Jesus that they had heard so much about. And so they gathered together, it says, And what did Jesus do when the people gathered together? Something that's very good to do when there's people. Something that's very good to do. Saray.
He preached.
Yes, what did he preach? Did he preach about what he had for lunch? Jocelyn? Yeah, but what does it say right here specifically? What did he preach?
The word.
The word. He preached the word to them. It's very good for us to do the same thing when we get people together to preach the word. And Jesus was, the Apostle John wrote that he was the living word which came down from heaven. He was the messenger and he was the message from God. And so the word that we read here today is the word concerning the Lord Jesus himself. And so we've got some pictures from this story. And there's pictures of Jesus. We don't know if he really looked like that, but he probably did have dark hair because he was a Jew. So verse 3. Who can read verse 3 for me? Abby, go ahead. Nice and loud so everybody can hear you.
And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four.
Okay, very good. So she read from a Bible that didn't say paralytic. It said someone who was sick of the palsy, which maybe is even harder to understand, but it means the same thing. Someone who is paralyzed. He couldn't walk. And why do you think they carried him on the bed?
Because he couldn't walk.
Very good, Denim. Very good. I like to ask those kinds of questions just to make sure that's clear. So for someone who can't walk, he could have just stayed at his house and said, well, I heard that Jesus is in town. Too bad I'm sick. Too bad I'm sick of the palsy, as Abby's Bible says. Or too bad I'm paralyzed. I guess I just can't go see Jesus. That's what some people would say. Some people that were sick probably said that, right? And some people today will think of excuses why they can't see Jesus. And they'll say, well, I can't do it because I have this. Or I can't because I have that. I have this sore on my foot and it really hurts to walk. Or maybe I have a broken leg and so I can't drive a car. Well, this guy, he was paralyzed. He couldn't even move his feet, let alone walk. And so not only did he decide that he wanted to go see Jesus, but he found four of his friends and persuaded them to bring him to Jesus. And I'm not sure how much persuasion it took, but it seems like those men, or those guys that are carrying him, they had to really believe something about Jesus too, didn't they? They had to believe that Jesus had a very special power from God in order for them to carry this man and go all the way to go see him. But they had a problem, didn't they? Remember how on the last slide we saw that there was a large crowd of people? They gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them. They couldn't get any people in anymore, especially someone who's carrying four people that are carrying a bed. So they had a problem, didn't they?
They're going to go through the roof.
And what does the verse say? Who can read that?
Yeah.
Anybody read that? We got the same four hands going up. There you go, Ray. Nice and loud.
And when they could not come near him because of the crowd.
Okay, good job. You can pause there. That's the first part of the verse. And you probably already know what the rest of it says. They could not come near because of the crowd. Another excuse, right? Well, it could be an excuse. Did they stop?
No, they went through the roof and came down.
Yep, they did. You know what the next slide is. Can you read it? What does the Bible actually say? They didn't just go through the roof. They did something else first.
They dropped him through the roof.
But what did they do before that, do you know?
They broke the roof.
Sometimes the word of God is there, even if you can't read it. They didn't break through it. They did something else. You're close. You're very, very close. Elsa.
They uncovered the roof.
They uncovered the roof. Did you read that?
Yeah.
That's okay. It's good to read it. It's very good to read the Bible. That's the right thing to do. Nothing to be ashamed of. They uncovered the roof where he was. That's why it's there. So when they had broken through, I guess it says they it does say they broke through. So maybe Denham's right too. They let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. So what do you think if you were in a crowded room of people and there's all these people and you're listening to somebody preach, maybe even right here. Imagine this whole room is full and all of a sudden somebody started taking the roof off. And then you could see the sky and all of a sudden a bed started coming down on ropes. Wouldn't that be crazy? Wouldn't it be weird? I don't know what I would do, but I can tell you what Jesus did, and you could probably tell me too. How many of you guys have heard this story before? How many of you guys think it's still good to listen and hear the story again? Good. I'm glad that all those hands stood up, because it's very important for us to listen, and every time I read this story, God can teach me something that I need to hear, remind me of something that I need to hear. Even if I'm a grown-up, even if I'm very old, which I'm not. I'm just older than I was last week. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying, it says. And in the last chapter, Mark chapter 1, there was a man who was sick with leprosy. Who can tell me what leprosy is? Erica, do you know? That's right. Yeah, it's a sickness that if you had it, you would die. It was... Dawson, can you tell us a little bit more about it?
Leprosy is a disease that's extremely contagious, where gets sores all over your body and eventually gets so bad tissue dies in your fingers and nose falls off and your toes and eventually you lose all your metal parts and you die.
Very good description. That's not something that I would want to have, would you?
No.
So if I had leprosy and I came up to you and I said, Jocelyn, can you give me a hug?
No.
What would you say?
No.
You'd probably run away from me, wouldn't you? You'd probably say, ew, nasty. You'd probably run away, right? Something like that. Well, guess what? Guess what Jesus did when he saw a man with leprosy? Guess what it says? It says, I got the right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. In chapter 1, verse 40, you can go back one page, probably one page. It says, now a leper came to him imploring. So, Jocelyn, if I had leprosy and I said, Jocelyn, please, can you please put some bandages on me? What do you think you would do, even though I'm your uncle? What would you do? Would you run away? I gotta think about that one. She probably would run away. And I wouldn't blame you, because bandages probably wouldn't help me. But this man was imploring Jesus. I'm not quite sure what he was imploring him. And he was kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. So he was kneeling down to Jesus, down low like this, saying, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And what did Jesus say? Did Jesus run away? Most people would run away. In fact, most people would probably start throwing rocks at them if they came close. That's what they did in some of the stories. Jocelyn, what did Jesus do? What did he say? Do you know?
I'm not Jocelyn.
Or Abby? I'm sorry.
He said yes.
Not quite. He said yes, but in a different way. Anybody know exactly what he said? Ellie?
He made me.
But what did he say before that? David?
I am willing.
He said, I am willing. I am willing. And then he said, be cleansed, in my version. So, be made clean, be cleansed. And Jesus, he cared about people, didn't he? Even when other people didn't care, Jesus cared. And so some of those people were probably like, what are they doing? They're making it so that even we can't be in here. I'm sure that with how packed that room was, there probably wasn't a lot of room for those people. And so some of them maybe had to go out or back up. And they were probably very annoyed that someone was bringing a bed pushing away and taking away their spot in line to go see Jesus and hear him preach and see what he could do. But it was all part of God's plan, because they were about to see a message that they would never forget, and that you and I will hopefully never forget, because we can see that same message from this story, which is a true story. It really happened. They broke through the roof. They took the roof off and uncovered it, and they let him down on his bed. Well, then what happened? Who can tell me? Just what's on this slide. Anybody else paying attention? What happened next, Nolan? Do you know what happened next?
No.
No? Harry? What did Jesus notice about them? Soraya.
He said that his sins were forgiven.
Yep, but what did he notice before that?
Justin.
Yeah, he saw their faith. How do you think he saw their faith? What was it that they did that showed faith? Abby?
When they saw how packed the house was, they didn't say, "Oh, it's all packed, let's go home." They persevered and went to the top of the mountain.
Yeah. Why do you think those people brought this man who was paralyzed? And why do you think they went up on the roof and let him down? Harry, do you know?
Because they knew that Jesus could heal people and he wanted to heal people.
That's a very good answer. I think that's probably why, too. So why do you think Jesus responded and said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you"? Especially if they came to get healed from being paralyzed. Why did Jesus say, "Your sins are forgiven you"? Soraya, do you know why?
Because everybody has sinned before, and that's even better than getting better from a sickness like that.
I like that answer. Did everybody hear what she said? Everybody has sinned before, and that's even better than getting better from being paralyzed. So he said, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." So Jesus knew that this man who was paralyzed had a much bigger problem than being paralyzed. His bigger problem than being paralyzed was even worse than leprosy. That deadly disease that Jocelyn was telling us about that's very contagious, that makes you die. What was that deadly disease that he had? I'll give you a hint. It starts with an S, and it ends with an N, and it has I in the middle. Ray.
Sin.
You are right. Did you already know the answer before I spelled it?
Maybe.
Maybe. You thought about it, didn't you? And Jesus knew that problem, and he also knew that this man had something very important, something that we must have in order to be saved. In order to be saved from sin. What must we have in order to be saved from sin?
God's blood.
That's right. But what else? What must we come with?
God dying on the cross.
Yep. Soraya, what else?
Jesus.
Yep, what else? Justin.
Faith.
Faith. He saw their faith. And who did they come to? Did they come to their mom or their dad? Or did they come to their senses and think that maybe they had it all figured out, how to solve the problem of sin?
No.
There was something else going on inside the heart of that man. He wanted to be healed from being paralyzed, but maybe he came to Jesus for more than that. I think that with his faith, he did. He was looking to Jesus for more than just being healed from his paralyzed state. And so Jesus knew that. He knew what this man was thinking. And so he said, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." There were some other people there that Jesus knew what they were thinking. They didn't say it out loud. It says that they were reasoning in their hearts in verses 6 and 7. That means they were thinking about some things, and maybe they whispered to each other a little bit. And they said, they thought, why does this man speak blasphemy? What's blasphemy? Dawson.
Crazy speech.
Yep. Or things that are wicked and not true. Right? In the Old Testament, if somebody said something that was something only God could say, they would call it blasphemy. Especially people that were very religious and that went to the synagogues, which is kind of like a church for the Jews. Who can forgive sins but God alone? So they were saying, this man, he is saying your sins are forgiven you, and only God should say that. No one else can say that. Were they right? They were right.
Well,
only God can
God,
say.
And they think he's not.
Yep, you are right about that. Yep. They were right about only God could say that, but they did not want to accept that Jesus is God. So immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit, that means he overheard what they were thinking, that they reasoned within themselves, he said, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts?" How would you like it if you were thinking about someone and you didn't tell anybody and they came up and told you what you were thinking? That's kind of what Jesus said. "Excuse me, but I couldn't help but overhearing what you were thinking about." Not quite like that. But he said, "Why are you thinking that way?" And then he said, "Which is easier to say?" Everybody was maybe expecting him to say, "Rise and take up your bed and walk." One more miracle from Jesus. That's what they wanted to see, right? But instead he said, "Your sins are forgiven you." And Jesus said, which is easier to say to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven you," or to say, "Arise and take up your bed and walk"?
Those.
Which would be easier for you to say? I guess it's easy to say anything. What do you think, Jocelyn?
Arise, take up your bed and walk.
Why?
Because saying your sins are forgiven you is like something that only God or Jesus can say.
Okay, that's one thought.
You might feel guilty about it.
Yeah. What if somebody was going to lie? What would be the easier thing to lie about? Would it be easier to lie and say, if it wasn't God — Jesus is God and we know that — but if it wasn't God and it was an imposter, like those religious people thought, what would be easier for an imposter or someone who's just faking God to be God to lie about? Would it be easier for them to say your sins are forgiven or to say rise and take up your bed and walk? Abby, what do you think?
Your sins are forgiven.
What?
Your sins are forgiven.
Why do you think that? You're right. Right? Why do you think?
Because if someone's lying about being God, if they say arise, take up your bed and walk, they won't be able to do it. But if they say your sins are forgiven,
everybody would know you're crazy because the person wouldn't get up and walk, right? You can't make him do that. He's paralyzed. And everybody would know that you're crazy. But with Jesus, which would be easier for Jesus to say? Because if Jesus said, "Rise and take up your bed and walk," he has power to do it, right? And everybody would see that he has power. To make him rise and take up his bed and walk, it only would cost Jesus his breath. It would only be speaking it, and he would get up and do it. But in order to say, "Son, your sins are forgiven you," that cost him his death. A much greater price to pay. And Jesus says, why? He said, your sins are forgiven. He said, that you may know that the Son of Man, that's Jesus, has power on earth to forgive sins. He was demonstrating his power. said to the paralytic, I say to you, rise, take up your bed, and go to your house. But he didn't want them to miss the more important message, which was to have your sins forgiven. And so he said, your sins are forgiven you. And then he said, arise, and take up your bed and walk. And when he did it, everyone was astounded to see that it really did happen, and that he really is God. Because immediately he rose and took up his bed and went out in the presence of them all. And so everybody saw it, and everybody heard. And so they knew that the Son of Man had power. What kind of power?
Holy.
Even enough power so that your... So that your sins can be forgiven. That's a great, great power that God has, power on earth to forgive sins. So I told you at the beginning that there were two miracles in this chapter. Who can tell me what the two miracles are? The youngest person who raises their hand gets to answer. Denim?
He's God?
That's not one of the miracles from the story. Anybody else know? I think you know. What was one of the miracles, Denim? Can you tell me one of the miracles?
God said, take up your bed and walk, and he did it.
That's one of them. Okay, what was the other one?
His sins are forgiven.
You got them both. Very good. That's a very important thing to remember. And who is the only one who can forgive sins?
God. And Jesus Christ.
I'm glad you got that message. And what did the paralyzed man have before Jesus said, your sins are forgiven?
Strength?
Nope. He definitely didn't have strength. He was paralyzed. Ellie?
Sin.
Yep, he had sin, but what did he have in order to have his sins forgiven? Right?
Faith.
Yep. He trusted in the Lord and believed. And then it says at the end there of verse 12 that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this in their whole lives. They never saw anything like this. So we can be thankful that when we read of what the Lord Jesus did, that he saw what was in their hearts, and he saw that they were sinful, even those religious people. It's interesting to me that even, I don't know if those religious people that were reasoning in their hearts, if they just left or if they stayed and maybe had a change of heart, but it says there that all were amazed and glorified God. Maybe there was even some religious people that were converted that day. Sometimes the religious people are the ones that are too proud to listen to God. But they all glorified God and said, we never saw anything like this. And sometimes people have deceptive packaging. They like to try to trick other people, make other people think, but the Lord knows what's in the heart. And he knows when people are truly seeking him. And in the Old Testament, God says, you will find me if you seek for me with your whole heart. And if you have searched for the Lord, and if you have not found him, it's your fault. Because he says, you will find me if you seek for me with your whole heart. And many reasons why, many people do not find the Lord. It says that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And a seeking sinner and a seeking Savior will always find each other because of that promise where he says, you will find me if you seek for me with your whole heart. Many times people don't find the Lord because they're not seeking with their whole heart. They're half-hearted. The Lord is not the most important thing to them. Well, this man seems like it was pretty important to him to find Jesus in more ways than one. And he got a double miracle, didn't he? And that miracle of having your sins forgiven is the most important part, isn't it? I hope all of you have come to Jesus to have your sins forgiven. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the blessing of healing and having the Lord Jesus, who cared enough to come down and be willing to cleanse people from things like leprosy and from being paralyzed, and to do such amazing things. But Lord, I pray that we wouldn't be distracted by all of the less important things, and that we would remember the things of first importance, like having our sins forgiven, and to preach the word of God, and to have faith, and to trust in not anything that our hands can do. It's not about the greatness of our faith, even though that faith was great, to be able to go all the way up on the roof and let that man down through the roof. The only one who could forgive sins was still Jesus. No other person. So we pray that we would never forget that he is the only one that can save, and the only one that can do a true miracle in our lives. And we thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus the servant, and all the stories that we can read about him and learn from about him, who he is and why he came. And we ask for each of these kids here to give their lives to him and make him the most important friend, most important person in their life. Everyone here, young and old, we thank you for your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.